Well, we went from one major question on the offensive line to now two, bare minimum. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Laremy Tunsil, torn triceps, going to miss 4 to 6 months. Nick Allegretti, been battling a calf injury. Still trying to work him into the actually playing the center position a little bit more. And here we are. It's just, this is how training camp goes. There's always something. But at least we're not talking about Terry McLaurin's contract or Brandon Ayuk. So those are positives right there. David Harrison jumps on with me. Locked On Commanders, Commanders Squad, WSA 9. And listen, David, I want to find the positive in this. I want to hope that Brandon Coleman or Andrew Wiley, even though we're kind of hearing both names, could fill in at left tackle. I want to know that they're going to be able to protect our quarterback. That's all I care about, damn it. So I'm going into this with a positive vibe that it's going to work out and they're going to be able to fix this thing. Where are you right now? Yeah. And do you have any insight as to who's actually going to be that left tackle for them?
I think the plan pretty firmly moving forward is Brandon Coleman. You know what I mean? And the spirit of competition, of course, always exists and all that kind of stuff. But I think Brandon is probably going to come out of this thing okay. And, you know, I don't know. He's not Laremy Tunsil, and nobody should expect him to be Laremy Tunsil for sure. You know, so like top five left tackle production or performance probably isn't, you know, necessarily a realistic expectation at this stage. But, you know, I think he could be a really solid left tackle. I think he did pretty well his rookie year. You know, playing that position. Obviously, he got some help and some chip blocks and things like that. He'll probably still need that, or they'll at least give it to him anyway, you know, at least to start the season before he proves if he can advance to the point where he doesn't need him. And I think that's just more so something on, you know, offensive coordinator David Blau. And this is where you find out the coaches who say, you know, my job is to scheme to the strength of my roster and my team, you know, versus trying to force my team to just execute my scheme no matter what. And he even said as much today, you know, he's just got to figure out how this thing is going to change to accentuate what Brandon does well. And you know, the part that is not muttered as much publicly is cover up things he doesn't do well. But that's obviously a part of it. And that's, this is where, you know, this is why you get to pay the big bucks is to figure this out.
You know, the one, I mean, I'm calling it a silver lining, but let's be honest, this sucks no matter what. But, you know, the one silver lining, I guess, David, is that, like, at least it happened at the beginning of August. You know, it gives him more of an opportunity to really work through some things. How much do you think, if at all, and maybe you've heard some things, and I know it's really early, so there's maybe not that much meat on this bone, but, I mean, like, how much does this alter their approach at all? Because that is, look, that's your quarterback's blind side. That's second most important position, basically, after the quarterback at left tackle.
Yeah, I think the good news is, you know, a lot of tight end sets, you know, a lot of multiple tight end sets and things like that, things that we already knew they were going to be doing offensively, quick game, leaning on the run, you know, running backs as outlet receivers, things like that, all kind of go hand in hand with losing your best pass protector. You know, whenever a team loses their best pass blocker, they got to get a faster game, they got to get a shorter game, and they got to get kind of a bigger game from a formational standpoint as far as how many guys are in line, things like that. So they've already been kind of doing some of those things that kind of help facilitate this. The other good news, it's already been in preparation. Brandon Coleman worked out with Laremy Tunsil this offseason, went out there and spent about a month with him, trained with him, learned how he prepares, how he takes care of himself, and how, you know, how he approaches being a pro. So Brandon, you know, was kind of taught by the perfect person to, you know, if you're going to replace Laremy Tunsil, Laremy Tunsil is the best guy to teach you how to replace him. You know what I mean? And that's, you know, got a little bit of an education there. And to your point, you know, if you're looking for silver lining, it kind of settles another job. You know, left guard job to Chris Paul seems pretty firm now. You know, not, again, not official, but I think we're all pretty confident that's going to be the outcome there. And so, just like you said, it's early August, and those two guys are going to get a lot of reps working side by side. They've had some reps from last year working side by side. And as soon as you get Nick in there, you're going to get your starting five kind of on the ground and give them the opportunity to try to solidify themselves as much as possible.
How close is Allegretti to returning?
I think, you know, I'm hopeful that he can come back before, you know, Detroit, before they head to Detroit for that week two preseason game. I don't, you know, I think we'll hopefully find out something more, you know, in the next couple of days from DQ as much as he wants to and can tell us. But the good news is we've seen Nick out there, you know, watching practice, being with his teammates, and, you know, it's never a firm timeline, but we talked about with like guys like Trey Amos and others, and when they're out there doing that, that's kind of a, it's kind of a good sign that they're close to coming back. So I think Nick is close, but at the same time, there's the whole, you know, factor of this staff potentially being a little bit more conservative, especially during the time of year that it is. Nick's IQ is not sprained or, you know, strained or anything like that. And so the biggest power that he has, the biggest weapon he has, is his IQ, his leadership, and his ability to communicate. None of that's going away. You still want the reps, of course. But, you know, the good news is what Nick does best is fully healthy and ready to go.
Talking to David Harrison here on The Fan, I've seen at least a little bit, and I know it's small and we haven't had pads, but Stephon Diggs, we're getting some flashes, man. Yeah. We're seeing some highlights here. What's he looked like out there for you?
Yeah, I mean, had some pads on today, you know, no full contact. You know, nobody's trying to take off each other's head, same team and all that kind of stuff. But, man, he looks good. He definitely doesn't look like the oldest receiver on the field, I'll tell you that much. And, you know, the theme all offseason has been getting younger, getting faster, getting more athletic. And I know there were some people, at least I think a minority of people, but, you know, a loud minority of people who were kind of like, oh, great, now, you know, the team's just getting older again. And you know, like I said, he doesn't look like he's the oldest cat on the field. Looked really good today. Got a few more reps, I think. You know, I don't count rep for rep, but it felt like he got a few more reps today. Maybe he hasn't, you know, in the past couple days. Had a really nice play connection with Jaden Daniels, you know, come in intermediate route towards the right sideline, and Jaden just kind of feathered the ball right over Leo Chenal's outstretched hand and right to Stephon Diggs in front of the safety, just the perfect place for the ball. So Jaden, you know, doing his thing there, Stephon getting open for his quarterback, connecting for a big play, and, you know, I think it was a two-minute scenario, put him in scoring range. Ultimately, they had to kick the field goal, but you like to see that connection just 3 days in, and it just kind of makes you wonder how good this duo can be, and then the trio with Terry McLaurin on top of it.
Yeah, and I mean, you start talking about Antonio Williams in that mix with Diggs and Terry McLaurin at the top there, too. What do you think, and again, you see some, you don't see a lot, since I feel like I need to preface everything with like, yeah, we got a lot more to still see, but, you know, Antonio Williams and Stephon Diggs, and you and I have talked about this before where, you know, there was a little bit of a worry they might be similar in some ways. How can you see them coexisting in this offense?
Well, I think I go back to, you know, a lot of us had conversations about Antonio coming out of college. Like, is he slot only? You know, is the theory that he was limited to the slot at Clemson because of the quarterback play? And is it one of those things where just because he wasn't asked to do it in college doesn't mean he can't do it in the NFL? We've seen plenty of examples. I mean, Terry McLaurin is an example of that, right? So I think the great thing about this scheme with David Blau is the things that we know Antonio does well, he's going to be able to do in this scheme. And then some of the things that maybe are a little bit just, you know, unproven, untested per se, he's going to have the opportunity to do them in this scheme. And the great thing is both of those guys are going to be able to do the same amount of stuff. Like there's not going to be a huge, you know, I would say drop off, because I mean, Steph and his experience obviously is incredibly valuable, but I think from just an athletic performance ability standpoint, Antonio is going to be able to do a lot of things on the field while Steph is on the field. They'll be able to rotate in and out. You know, Stephon Diggs is still the oldest wide receiver in the room, so keeping him fresh is certainly a good idea. And, you know, if you have the opportunity to give him a breather on the sideline while Antonio goes and gets some burn, that wouldn't necessarily be a bad idea either. But, yeah, there's certainly ways for them to coexist on the field at the same time, whether it's a rotational route. But, you know, I think the great thing is you don't want to put a ton of pressure on a third-round rookie. Everybody loves the excitement. Everybody loves the anticipation. But, man, this team, like from the internal team, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn and David Blau went into this thing in September and said, yeah, Antonio's going to be, you know, like an 85-90, you know, target guy. That I think that would be a very bold, but, you know, kind of a reckless goal in mind. So I don't think they're going to go that route. But Antonio's going to have his opportunities for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certainly a lot of excitement about what he can bring. And now it feels like he's, you know, in a lot of ways, too, kind of put in a better position, too, David, because, like, it's not now with the attention so much on Terry and Stephon Diggs. I feel like there, at least in theory, can be more opportunities for him, simply the fact that, like, defenses are going to be paying attention to other receivers and maybe Chigakonkwo before him.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, it really does become, you know, kind of a figure of poison. Like, we've seen, you know, these clips, and everybody's talked about Antonio and his separation ability from, you know, the day he was drafted and then all the way through every day at camp. It seems like there's a new, you know, video out there of him just kind of making someone look like they had a bad day of practice, you know. But that's what the really good receivers and really good route runners are able to do. So if he can do some of those things, and if he can get those one-on-one matchups because, you know, teams are rolling over to Terry or double teaming, you know, trying to double team Chig. Maybe they don't have a coverage linebacker that they can trust. They got to double him. And, give him bracket coverage and just, you know, these other things. And it's kind of like the opposite, you know, the equal but opposite side of the pass rush, where Durante Jones tries to do everything he can to get his guys one-on-one matchups with blockers by simulating pressure or bringing pressure and forcing the blocking team to kind of spread out a little bit. The offense is essentially looking to do the same thing, where there's so many ways they can attack you. And oh, by the way, you've also got number five back there. So if you leave him unaccounted for, you're basically toast. That you're going to get your playmakers in really advantageous situations, and Jaden just has to basically find the right guy.
All right. Durante Jones' defense, early impressions of it for you?
Fun. A lot of fun. You know, I mean, there's guys flying around, guys coming from all different directions. You know, I've seen corners blitz, linebackers blitz, I've seen linemen, you know, drop out into coverage. I mean, it really is just one of those things where I think the greatest part of it is, you know, everybody staying healthy is obviously a big key to it, of course. But I think this will be a season where a lot of times, you know, you see a play happen and you go to social media, or maybe it's in the press box, or something, a fan or a media member is like, yeah, I saw that coming from a mile away. I knew exactly what they were doing as soon as they stepped on the field. And unfortunately, you were correct. And I think this time it's going to be a little bit harder to do some of those things. You know, it's a lot of fun. I've had this conversation with another member of the media today. Actually, we're watching the defense pretty intently. And, you know, I'm not a quarterback by any means, but you're trying to kind of like identify some like the triangles and stuff on the field that quarterbacks try to look for, depending on how they're taught to do all this kind of stuff. And man, if we weren't wrong pretty much every single time. There was one rep where it was kind of easy, but you know, that's definitely a one-off. But you know, it's a lot of fun to know what you're talking about, but it's also a lot of fun to not know, because that's really when you challenge your knowledge base and your ability to expand and learn. And so I'm having a lot of fun watching this defense.
You know, it looks like, too, Frankie Louvu is getting a lot of opportunity here. He's somebody, David, I got a lot of high hopes for, just because we saw what he can be 2 years ago. And we talk about all these additions they've made to this defense, but there's also at least the hope that you get more out of Frankie Louvu, or, you know, a Johnny Newton, or obviously Dorrance Armstrong being healthy adds to that, too. But it feels like there's been a lot of Frankie Louvu so far.
Yeah, Frankie's been, it looks like they're gonna be able to get Frankie freed up again. You know, it's always a little tentative. Like, you're hopeful that you're gonna get to see that 2024, you know, all pro, second team all pro caliber Frankie Louvu again. But like, you know, I want to see it against another team. Like, let's see, you know, what happens when the Dolphins come to town, and does it look the same, and does it look effective? But man, this pass rush, whether it's been Frankie or if it's been, you know, Sonny or Adafe or any of them, I mean, Javonte Jean-Baptiste, you know, has been making plays, getting in the backfield on a regular basis as well. Like, just this defense is definitely designed to go. So, you know, it's just going to be indicative of can Durante Jones stay ahead of the opposing offensive coordinator that week? And if he can, there's going to be a lot of it'll be interesting to see how creative these defenders get with their sack celebrations.
You're making me feel like this defense might be capable this year. I'm getting a little excited. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, we talked about it. You know, we talked about it before. I can't remember the year and team, but I think it was Flores taking over the Vikings defense, whatever year that was, like 2022, something like that. I think they inherited a near bottom of the team defense, and in that 1 year turned it into a top 10 defense. And I'm not saying that's what everybody should expect, but you know, it's a possibility. It's a thing that's happened before. Durante comes from that tree. He comes from a lot of defensive coordinators, you know, Vance Joseph, Lou Anarumo, Zimmer, Flores. Like, he comes from a lot of guys who have been very successful in the National Football League. And if you give him the horses to be able to put the thing together, you know, he's definitely got the pedigree to be able to get it done.
How much concern is there around Trey Amos and, you know, dealing with more injuries again already?
Yeah, it's not advantageous. It's certainly, you know, it's certainly not, you know, what you want to hear or see happen, or see him leave the field, you know, in his second day back from a broken leg. I didn't see the play happen, like where he got injured. I didn't see it. I actually don't know any reporters that did see it, so I don't know if anybody got their eyes on it. So it's kind of hard, you know, if you knew it's like kind of a fluky thing, then you're like, okay, like, you know, it happens, and you know, try not to connect it too deeply. But if it's kind of one of those things where it's like, well, he just kind of came down and for whatever reason just didn't give him the support it needed to, then, you know, I'm not a doctor by any means, so I don't know how much that's connected to like previous injuries, things like that. You know, we know that, you know, DQ shared that he had the soft tissue kind of soreness going on from the rehab. So you just kind of wonder, like, how compromised is his lower body, and is it going to be a nagging issue? But we also know, too, you know, through reputation and all that stuff. Like, this is a staff that's very conservative when it comes to returning guys to practice. Mm-hmm. So we have a head coach that you're covering here who obviously has demonstrated time and time again that he's going to put the wellness of the guy before he puts the wellness of or the playability of the player first. So that being said, whenever he gets back on the field, whether that I don't think it's going to be before or the day of the Dolphins practice, to be quite honest with you, I think Trey is probably more in line for Detroit than anything else the first time we see him in like a full-blown action situation. But whenever we see him on the field, there's at least this history that you can lean on to know that the team is doing it the right way.
All right, it's not training camp without a kicker battle. Drew Stevens winning this over Jake Moody?
I mean, yeah, I think so. But, you know, both of those guys are going to, you know, I don't know what kickers do when they have a bad day of practice, to be honest with you, but whatever it is they do, they're going to be doing it tonight because, you know, Jake Moody went first today in the kicking period, went 2 for 6, missed his last 4 kicks in a row. So he made his 2 shortest kicks and missed his 4 longest kicks, and that's just brutal. You know what I mean? Yeah. For a guy who, again, like, he doesn't have the leg Drew Stevens has already, so you got to have the accuracy. Like, that's where you're going to make up the buffer is in the accuracy department. So for that, that was pretty brutal. And I mean, we're all human beings, you know what I mean? So I can't imagine Jake didn't, you know, step off the field right then and they're wondering if he just doomed himself, you know what I mean? But then Drew goes out there and goes 3 for 6. So it's like, okay, well, you know, maybe today is just the day that, you know, the football gods just don't want kicks to go through the uprights. I don't know, but they both went 1 for 1 in their game.
Was it windy? Is that what it was? Positive. Was it just windy? Did they blame the wind?
No, it wasn't windy. I don't know. It was really hot. You know, we can try to make an excuse there somewhere, but yeah, no, it was a bad day for both kickers. You know, Drew's got the bigger leg. Obviously, you know, if he goes 6 for 6 and Jake goes 2 for 6, then I think there's, you know, at least a small population of people talking about maybe it's time to, if you want to keep the kicker competition going, find a new competitor to come in and compete with Drew. But as it is right now, I mean, 2 for 6 and 3 for 6, neither guy is really running away with this thing, but neither guy is out of it yet either.
Yeah, you know, everybody wants to make fun of kickers until they need a kicker to win a game for them and be consistent. Man, and then all of a sudden, I wish people would look at that more that way. David Harrison, good to talk to you, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Of course. Appreciate you.
All right, David Harrison, Locked On Commanders, Commanders Squad, WUSA 9. Yeah, everybody makes fun of kickers until all of a sudden you're like, oh, God, we need somebody to kick a 60-yarder for us, which, by the way, is happening all the time in the NFL now. We've gotten to this point where it's just like it's effortless for them. Kind of on board with the 4-point field goals, 60-plus yards. Let's do it. Let's turn this into the XFL, the original XFL. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Yeah, the trickle-down effect from the Laremy Tunsil injury is going to be real, but the Commanders, at least hopefully, are going to get something out of Brandon Coleman at left tackle. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Like, none of it's going to be better, but if Brandon Coleman, again, I know Andrew Wiley was mentioned and they can say it's a competition, but like David Harrison said, like it's probably going to be Brandon Coleman. It's funny because like when it initially happened, I remember Schefter said it was originally going to be Wiley. I was like, really? Andrew Wiley? I don't know if we want him at left tackle, but Brandon Coleman. Look, Brandon Coleman's also young. I mean, he was, what, a third-round pick in 2024? There's still a chance that, you know, he develops as a really good offensive lineman. You obviously want Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. You want that to be the long-term solution. That's why you signed him to an extension. But if Brandon Coleman is somebody that you can swing to multiple positions and maybe ends up becoming a starter down the road, I mean, again, you're going tackle guard. It's a little complicated, but they got to figure out this offensive line because it was getting moved around a lot last year, right? They were figuring it out, and as the season went on, you kind of started to find guys in certain spots, but then center becomes a problem heading into here, and Nick Allegretti's been out, and now you have the Laremy Tunsil injury. So now the biggest and most glaring issue for this team becomes the protection and the safety net for your franchise quarterback. And that's the last position you want to be in. And look, they did the right thing. They went out and they traded for Laremy Tunsil. They gave up assets that were going to bring them back a Pro Bowl left tackle, and that's exactly what they got. He was one of the best in the NFL last year. He got his extension. Injuries happen. This sucks. But it's still something now that is going to be a worry. And, you know, center is its own thing, right? Because center, there's the protection, but there's also the communication and the chemistry with the quarterback, you know, the connection between the offensive line and the quarterback, all those things. We haven't had a lot of work between Allegretti and Jaden Daniels in camp. But now the blind side is also going to be vulnerable, at least at this point. It's two of the worst spots on the offensive line with a young quarterback. Any quarterback, obviously, with left tackle, but specifically a young quarterback, that's two of the worst positions to be vulnerable or have question marks for a team that's really in a pivotal year three. Because that's really what this is. This is a massively important year three that we talk about so much, but they just have to overcome it. Like, this in this moment here, right? Last year, there was the next man up, and it got to the point where it was said so much, you went, oh, there's really no more men up to be next, right? But this, in this case, does become next man up. It becomes Brandon Coleman taking over that left tackle spot and needing him to play well. He may not get to Laremy Tunsil's level, but he's been training with him. He's been working with him. He's learned from him. So there's an opportunity there for him to really step in and maybe show people, oh, he's better. He's better than what we anticipated. They've really still locked down that left tackle position. That's best-case scenario here. But, you know, you really have to look at new offense, new pieces, new receivers, rookie offensive coordinator. Now center is still a question, and left tackle is vulnerable. And that's a lot of questions for an offense with a lot of moving parts. Again, that doesn't mean that it's all going to end up horrible, but you start off the season with the first two games on the road against division opponents in an elite defense in Philadelphia, and Dallas has improved their defense, whether it's good or not 2 weeks into the season, we have no idea. But then you've got Seattle at home week three. So your offense with the new pieces and the moving parts and the questions now on off the offensive line, they got a tough start to the season. Again, it's why I go back to, again, it may be a pipe dream, but the hope is that this defense can actually step up in the absence of consistency from the offense. Because if that's a possibility and the offense sputters out of the gate, defense doesn't need the same type of rhythm and chemistry that an offense does, right? Receivers and timing and all of that, you know, the different little things that need to come together on the offense. If you got guys at least getting after the quarterback, understanding their assignments, and swarming to the ball and open field tackles are being made consistently, you've already improved this defense, and that puts him in a much better spot versus, well, what you had to deal with last year. Just don't give up 384 total yards a game. That would be a good start. But there's going to have to be next man up may not just be Brandon Coleman at left tackle, but it's also, hey, defense, the offense may have some issues at the beginning. Or it could be Brandon Coleman just solidifies it and this offense puts up 40 against the Eagles. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? That'd be a nice start to this season to have just light up the Eagles week one. I think we'd all take that. And then the Cowboys week two. Nick Ashew on the Fan. This year matters for Jaden Daniels and this offense, but let's also be honest with ourselves. Jaden Daniels could have an up and down season this year, and this team, it's not like they're going to cut him or trade him. Or you're riding the full length of this, even if it's a roller coaster. And I'm not saying that I think it's going to be. I do think if he's healthy, we are going to see an elite quarterback, plain and simple. Like, he's insanely accurate, has one of the most accurate deep balls in the NFL, super high football IQ, great leader. Like, he checks all the boxes. It's just staying healthy, and that's it. But, you know, for some people, right, it's like, oh, this is year three for him. If this doesn't work, they might. There's the other side of things where it's been like, oh, they might not pick up his option. ESPN's Kevin Clark was on the Fan earlier and just laughed at that idea that they wouldn't pick up the option.
Somebody said to me the other day, oh, hey, you know, the fifth-year option comes due. What are you guys talking about? They're gonna Adam Peters is going to sprint to exercise the fifth-year option, no matter right. what happens. His arm could fall off, and they would say, I can't wait to sign this guy. So that, to me, is it's not rushed to say that we're going to put him in some conversation where, you know, he's going to end up being bad or not the franchise guy. To me, guys, I think he's going to end up being the best quarterback in the class. In that class, I think he's going to be better than Drake May. He's going to be better than Caleb Williams. That might not be revealed this year, but it will be revealed at the end of everybody's tenure with their respective teams. That's just kind of how I put it. Okay, so but to me, the danger you have is that narratives are very powerful, and you know the noise might be really loud next year. But I don't think Adam Peters is going to panic. I don't think the play callers are going to panic. I think they understand that this roster is not what the Eagles have right now and may not be what the Cowboys have right now when you consider how good George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb are as far as Dak Prescott and Dak Prescott being in year 10.
Yeah, listen, look at some of the teams right now that are dealing with real questions about quarterbacks that were drafted in the same class as Jaden Daniels. I mean, the Falcons and Michael Penix Jr. How's that working out? They brought in Tua. How's J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings looking right now? It's even worse. Barely seen him on the field. He's dealt with more injuries than anybody. And yeah, injuries derail a lot of careers. And these quarterbacks all have a level of talent that's there. But, you know, if you're looking at sort of the ceiling for all of them, Jaden Daniels absolutely has the highest ceiling out of all of these quarterbacks. What's going to hurt Caleb Williams in his career is the gunslinger mentality that he has, right? There's going to be peaks. There's going to be valleys there. We're watching him make these throws, and it's wild, and it's like, oh, man, he's like Patrick Mahomes. Oh, God, what was that throw? And
then it's sometimes, like Brett Favre. That's what I think.
I mean, and it's kind of similar, right? Brett Favre, Tony Romo was like that too, Metal Chris. Like, these, to a different degree, but, like, again, not the athleticism that Mahomes has or the crazy sidearm throws, and there's a reason why Caleb Williams was compared to
him. But the just sometimes he's on and sometimes he's not, and you're going to get some wild throws. Like, that is very Brett Favre to me. Like,
and that's, I mean, that's the reason why. I mean, Caleb Williams threw over 30 touchdown passes at 7 picks but completed only 58% of his passes this past season. That's why. There is going to be a roller coaster that's there, and I'm sure Ben Johnson will want to get that up, but you also can't take away the total, like, the aggressiveness that makes that quarterback great in that sense. It's like you don't want to take away the ability for a quarterback to run if they can run, but you don't want it to be their, like, their crutch. You want it to be something that's in specific situations, and Jaden Daniels understands that. Drake May's not that much of a runner. He's much more of a, you know, more of a traditional quarterback, but can move in the pocket, obviously. And, you know, he's got a high ceiling, but I would argue it's just not as high as Jaden Daniels. And some of that's athleticism, but there's other factors in that too. But, you know, it's there's a reason why Jaden Daniels was taken number two overall. And his ceiling is as high as anybody, and it doesn't matter what he does. They're going to pick up that fifth-year option. You want to maximize everything you can, and hopefully it's not even a conversation, and they're talking about extension, real extension this offseason. Like, you get what you actually hoped for when you drafted Jaden number two overall. You've got weapons around him now. Look, left tackle, certainly a problem. Center is a problem right now, but it may not end up being as bad as we think. I mean, seriously, Brandon Coleman could step in there and be a good left tackle. That is absolutely a possibility. He's still young. He's been working with Laremy Tunsil. He's been getting things down in terms of technique and learning what's made him great. And maybe Brandon Coleman ends up being a good, just good. If they can get good and consistent right now to fill in for Laremy Tunsil for the next, God, 4 to 5 months, I guess. I mean, probably most of the regular season, barring a miracle. It's going to make a difference, and it's going to make Jaden Daniels, like, a lot more comfortable because his blind side's protected, and this is where some creativity is going to have to come in from David Blau. But, I mean, left tackle is – that's as important – that is the most important position on the offensive line. Unless your quarterback's left-handed, then it's right tackle. But protecting the blind side of your quarterback, that's it. So
it will be nice to be, like, the one team going into the playoffs with a fresh, top-tier – you know, left tackle.
It's true. If he's fully healthy and gets back with, like, a few weeks left in the season and he's ramped up and ready to go by playoffs, yeah, that's helpful, man. And then maybe Brandon Coleman's good enough where you might even have to rotate him in sometimes because, you know, Laremy Tunsil still got to get in football shape or whatever. Like, to then have, like, quality depth on the offensive line.
Like, maybe he'll be doing so good they'll just have to move him to center because they can't take him off the field.
There you go, right? And after all that, then, I mean, listen, they were talking about Brandon Coleman playing center for a while. So, but this is an issue now. I mean, you've the trickle down effect from this Laremy Tunsil injury is real, and you had a positive trickle down effect from the Stephon Diggs signing. Everybody slotted down an extra spot. You got an opportunity to kind of, you know, be put in a position that might be better for you, like an Antonio Williams. It doesn't help with receivers trying to make the roster for the Commanders. I think they'll probably keep 7 guys, but, you know, that trickle down effect meant that's one fewer roster spot that somebody is going to win at wide receiver. But, you know, from an offensive line perspective, the left side is a question. Chris Paul is likely going to win that job, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be great at it. If Brandon Coleman's your left tackle, you hope he's strong there. I mean, they've kind of shifted things at center around a little bit anyway. They signed that Daniel Brunskill guy at center. Julian Good-Jones is on the roster. They're talking about Matt Golden now at guard. So, you know, he's going to work some at guard and maybe some at center. Nick Allegretti needs to be healthy, but he's barely out there. I mean, you know, this team has the potential to have a good offensive line. It's not like they haven't addressed it over the years. I mean, Sam Cosmi's been on the roster for years, but he was a second-round pick 5 years ago. Josh Connerly, I mean, that's your first-round pick. You need him to be strong at right tackle. And if that's the case, and you have, I mean, they, it's not, this is the one good thing. They have not ignored the offensive line like the Colts did with Andrew Luck. So they're not going to drive our Jaden Daniels into early retirement. I think we know that. But, you know, there may be other roster moves that could happen, right? Somebody could be on the market. It's a free agent, or there could be a trade involved, or whatever the case is, where you really want to shore that up. Or if anything, it's a backup to Brandon Coleman, or you're rotating Brandon Coleman a little bit and bringing somebody else in at left tackle. Those are some of the options that they might have. Again, it's early in camp, and that's one of the benefits, at least here, is that because it's early in camp, you have time to figure this out. You have time to work guys around a little bit. This is where you try these things, especially when nobody's watching practice. That's where you can really work on things. The trick plays, trying guys in different positions, whatever. Like, that's going to be something that really helps this team. If this was week three, imagine this. Imagine Laremy Tunsil tearing his triceps week two against the Cowboys, and then week three you got Seattle coming to town, and that defense, even with the pieces that are missing, it's still going to be a really good defense in Seattle. That's not what you want. The first week with all that, Brandon Coleman, hey, there you go, buddy, get ready. Or it happens right before the Rams with Aaron Donald coming back and playing, and then Miles Garrett and the rest of that. So this is, again, silver lining, not great, but if we're trying to find a silver lining in this, that's the silver lining. It's based on the timing there.
At least he's got time to prepare for the test, and it's not a pop quiz. It's kind of what you're saying.
It is, you know what? It is not a pop quiz, and that's the most important thing here. So we won't see much against the Dolphins. Like, we're not going to get very much here, but, you know, if you at least get Brandon Coleman out there working on it and he looks solid with whoever's at quarterback, they'll be in a good spot. Nick Ashew on the Fan. I just keep thinking about how good the Rams are going to be this year. God. It's the Rams and everybody else in the NFC. Saw more videos of Aaron Donald working out. I mean, it's like the worst kept secret. We all know he's coming back. Hey, if you build it, they will come, right? LeBron did that for years with the Heat, back with the Cavs a second time, I mean, sort of the Lakers, I guess, right? If you have a team, even the Sixers now, guys just want to go play for the Sixers just to get an opportunity to win, even if they're taking a pay cut for a season. You stack a team and then
you want to play with LeBron, too, as part of it. Like,
yeah, they do like to play with LeBron.
Yeah, sure. If you know he's going to be in his career soon, you got a chance to go play with him for a season or two, that'd be awesome.
Man, plus he's going to be like the facilitator there in Philadelphia even more. He's going to be getting guys involved. You can learn. You get better. Like, here, that's the thing. Like, guys like playing with LeBron. He's by all accounts, a great teammate. He's not like Michael Jordan, who punched Steve Kerr in the face.
You know? I don't like Steve Kerr.
You don't like? Oh yeah, because he was the general manager of the Suns. Yeah,
everybody hates him.
I always forget that.
Yeah, I know. I like to remind people of this just to make sure everyone around here knows this fact.
Well, yeah. I mean, isn't it amazing, though, how you can completely erase a narrative around somebody? Like, people forget that Steve Kerr was a general manager because he was terrible. He's a great coach. It's like Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson, one of the greatest coaches in NBA history. But team president for the Knicks, absolute atrocity. He was terrible. So it happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to figure out what position works for you, and sometimes you realize, oh, wait, this is actually a better situation for me. But, yeah, I mean, if you have a team that's got a lot of talent and a chance to win, you will get guys that are willing to maybe take a pay cut. And think about this, too. Like, Aaron Donald will be a season. You know, he'll probably come back for 1 year. They have a chance to win the Super Bowl in SoFi, and then that's it. Then maybe it's done. They're just you can build teams so many different ways. You don't have to build a team through the draft. You don't have to build a team through free agency. And I'm talking NFL. The NBA's gotten more restrictive with some of these things. But, you know, like the NFL, you can go F them picks. You got to make sure it works. Like, no matter what you do, if you lean into a certain identity and how you build a team, you just have to make sure that damn thing works. And that's, you know, for the Rams, you're already bringing guys in that you know can play in the NFL. It's really just fitting them into, you know, your system, putting them in a position to succeed. Are they better in, you know, man-to-man or zone? Or are they better, you know, whatever the case is, right? And just talking defensive players. Offense, yeah, obviously different there. But
do you think this Rams team is something that could be considered, like, an all-time rival? Like, we're talking 85 Bears, 91 Skins, that kind of stuff.
I mean, let's put it this way. On paper, yes. the question really just becomes, does that translate to winning? Because, again, it doesn't always work. The Eagles tried that. And, again, it's just one team I think of. But, like, the Eagles years ago with the Nnamdi Asamoah, Vince Young was the backup calling them a super team. Like, they tried it, and it didn't work at all. They were 8-8 with Chip Kelly and became a disaster.
I mean, right? I remember the 91 Redskins season, and I remember before it, everyone was like, yeah, no, they're the favorites to win the Super Bowl. If they do anything besides that, then something's gone drastically wrong.
Right. Right.
Like, it was not like this, man, they got a really good lineup this year. I think they got a shot at it. No, no, no. It was like, if they do not win the championship, something's very wrong.
I mean, the Rams are just, I mean, the additions they've made this offseason.
That's what I mean. It's like they're starting to get that kind of hype about them before this. Now, of course, injuries could change everything, whatever.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But assuming that doesn't happen, I mean, it looks like they have the potential to be an all-time team.
I mean, Myles Garrett, Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson all added this offseason. You're going to have Aaron Donald coming back at some point. I mean, the offense already, again, a lot of it too is Matt Stafford has to stay healthy, because after that, I mean, it's going to probably be Stetson Bennett.
I mean, every team needs their quarterback to stay healthy.
That's the thing, you know. But Kyren Williams, who's one of the, you want to talk about another running back that's sort of that hybrid dual threat running back wide receiver out of the backfield. Kyren Williams falls into that category of, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson. And you know, then you have Davante Adams and Puka Nacua at receiver. Look, Davante Adams didn't put up a ton of yards last year, but he had 14 touchdowns. So he gets in the end zone. And you just, you look at this roster with, you know, again, the coaching staff that's there too. It's good, man. It's a really, really good team. I think the question just becomes, you know, one, can everybody stay healthy? Because, I mean, you've got guys on this roster that have certainly missed time with injuries. I'd be curious to see, too, what they do with Aaron Donald. Like, how many snaps does he get? What does that look like at the beginning of the season? Is he, you know, because he's kept himself in shape. We know that. He's constantly showing everybody on Instagram. That's for sure. But once they got Myles Garrett, it was just, I mean, yeah, why not? At this point, like, because here's the thing, too. If you're Les Snead or Sean McVay, or you can just dip after, like, Matt Stafford retires. Like, really, just, we're done. You don't have to stick around for the rebuild era. The gift that'll keep on giving is Ty Simpson, and praying that he's going to end up being the next franchise quarterback for this team. You drafted him in the first round, you think he's going to, but like Les Snead doesn't even have to be there. He could say, like, they could win the Super Bowl, Matt Stafford could retire, and they all just decide, that's it, I'm good. Really, they were talking about Sean McVay retiring for years. I know he signed an extension and Matt Stafford signed an extension, but what if they just decide to go out on top? I mean, Steve Kerr is going to leave the Warriors the minute Steph's gone. He's not sticking around for a rebuild there. They're already halfway into a rebuild. They're an aged-out roster. Certain coaches, you're there for so long, you either want something new, you want to take a break, and you just, like, is it worth staying with the same team? And if you care about your legacy at all, that's a thing, too. Like, you start thinking about the post-success years and being a part of a rebuild, and you got to want to be a part of that. I mean, look at what happened with Bill Belichick after Tom Brady left. That was a fall-off pretty quick.
I wouldn't trust Steve Kerr with a rebuild, I'll just tell you that.
Well, we know you won't. Yeah, if he has anything to do with the players that are actually chosen. Although, he had some say in, well, I mean, I guess he wasn't really there for, like, he identified the talent that was already there. He knew what Steph could be if his ankles were okay. He gave Draymond Green a much bigger role. Klay Thompson was there and young. So, I mean, he came in and just changed the offense.
But
and the
he
way
wasn't
that
the
it was
one
approached.
Making the draft picks and the trades.
Right, that's so. What I'm saying. Like, none of
he
them
didn't
were
bring
like
the Splash Brothers there.
No. And again, that's why he's a coach and not a front office guy. Maybe he can't identify the talent and say this college player is great in the NBA, but he can look at what somebody's doing in the NBA and say, how can I make that better? He was the guy. Mark Jackson was the guy that built the culture there enough where they got to 47 wins with the Warriors. They fired him. They hired Steve Kerr. He took it to the next level. And that happens a lot with coaches. Some coaches are like the early build guys, and some guys are the take what's already built and accentuate it. And it's just the difference. All right, well, Rams are going to win a million games this year, that's for sure. All right, Nick Ashew on the Fan.